Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the show. This is the Ladies of Tea Talk Time. And this morning is, today is actually April the 23rd. I still can't believe
we
are in the middle of April and Christmas is like 8 months away. It's crazy.
Well, Mother's Day is next month.
Yeah.
We're almost headed towards the summer. You know, I can't believe this is really the end of April. It has this year, we're past the first quarter. The first quarter ended last month. So it's April, the end of April. And as they say, April brings a lot of prosperity and heck. I'll tell you this much, we have had a lot of positive vibes and positive exchange from our viewers, our listeners as well as our followers, and we definitely want to say thank you, and we appreciate the continued support. This is Dee, and of course, Stacy is always doing a great job with her wonderful intro. In typical fashion, we generally just jump directly into our topic, but we would be remiss if we did not address or at least make mention to the passing of a musical icon, Prince, that passed away a couple of days ago. A lot of us, we are still in shock. I can't believe it. Last night I was watching a special that they did last night on MSNBC about Prince, his legacy, his music, and it was very enlightening. And there's a lot of things that I didn't even know about Prince. Like I didn't know that he was he was a Jehovah's Witness. And when he decided to change his life, there are certain songs that he would not perform at his concerts, because of his faith. I don't know if you knew, but he would go door to door occasionally.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I was telling someone that I knew because I watched TBN and the 500 Club, and that's how I actually knew that years ago he changed his life, and he was a Jehovah's Witness, and they don't celebrate birthdays or, they don't give gifts and stuff like that. So I knew that about him. What was enlightening for me that I didn't know, I've heard of, like, Toni Braxton and other people talk about how good of a person he is and how when they were going through their most difficult time, he was the first phone call that they got. But the humanitarian aspect of him is what I really didn't know how much he was so involved. Because of his religious beliefs, he's not allowed to publicize or talk about it. But I knew he was a Jehovah's Witness, and I knew he actually went door to door and that he actually didn't sing certain songs. And you could see in his behavior, too, and the way he conducted himself, that there was something different about him. But for the most part, though, I can say about Prince, even when he did not convert, or try to develop a spiritual side to himself, you've never really seen any headline of scandal of per se or bad behavior on Prince's part. People may talk about maybe his outfits, and that, he's having diva moments. But for the most part, you have never really, he has pretty much lived his life as a humble person under the radar. You don't see much excitement and much, flare up and stuff like that when it comes to Prince. When I think back, I know we're both young, but when I look back at even in the 90s, at headline news and, the Inquirer and stuff like that, that was out before TMZ and all of those types of things, you didn't see much headlines about Prince behaving badly.
Well, Prince was a proclaimed bad boy back in the day when his music, and that's something I'm learning too, which I'm not too surprised because I know that my aunt was a major fan of Prince. She even had a purple Corvette, which was kind of odd to me, but she's a major Prince fan. And, you know, his sexual undertones, a lot of people remember him as being the somewhat the bad boy once you compare to Michael Jackson, who, you know, was out. They were out at the same time. And there was a video that I saw, and there's plenty of videos. There's a video interview that I saw that Chris Rock conducted with Prince. And the question, this might make many laugh, but the question was, he said, I heard that you, he says, there a, do you and Michael Jackson have some sort of beef? And Prince says, no, not at all. The next question was, well, how about rumors that you turned down doing Bad with Michael, which you remember that song, Who's Bad? Mm-hmm. And he was like, this is true. He said he was supposed to be Wesley Snipes, and I didn't even know Wesley Snipes was in the movie, in the video, but he was supposed to be the guy opposite of Michael Jackson in the alley. Looks like they were either in an alley or in the subway. And the first lyric, Prince said, the first words was, your butt is mine. And Prince said, who's going to sing the first line? He said, because you ain't going to sing that to me, and I'm definitely not going to sing that to you. And it was just hilarious. He had a certain type of uniqueness about him, but he was always real and down to earth and extremely talented. So we definitely lost a musical genius at a very young age. And, you know, again, it just still seems so unreal. And they played Prince all, I'm pretty sure, all over the country, but here in Dallas, three of the four stations that I listened to was playing Prince.
Yeah, not only that, Dee, but Omni, the Omni Hotel in Dallas, they turned their light purple for the night. And them and the, I think it was the Doubletree Hotel as well. So the skyline was beautiful. And Paris did it as well. Paris turned the Eiffel Tower purple.
So, oh, wow, you know, I didn't know that.
Yeah, a few people I saw it being shared on social media where Paris did that. So, you know, Prince was respected all over the world. You know, and as I said, for me, from what I can remember about him and even talking to my mom about him, she was like, for, you know, as though he was given the name the bad boy of music back then because of his risky outfits and the fact that he was just, you know, he had this persona about him where he exuded confidence. You know, as little as he was, he exuded this confidence. You know, some people even call it arrogance. But and in some of his interview clips, you hear where he said his father, when he was teaching him how to play the instrument and stuff like that, you know, he was like, you're not good enough. You know, so he always had to live up to that type of standard, which he said further helped to boost his confidence because he was teased in school a lot because of his height and the fact that he used to have seizures and stuff like that, you know, which he kind of, I think he grew out of epilepsy or something like that. But, you know, it other than that, she, as I was saying to her, I really never remember anything being in the media about Prince, you know, and whether it's having parties and getting out of control or trashing hotel rooms, you know, a lot of the usual things you heard about rock star of other groups and stuff like that back in the day. And she said that was true. And was like, he really was, you know, a low-key person. He let is I think the most flashy part about Prince other was his outfits and his hairstyle, and of course his music was phenomenal. You know, so yeah, Prince will is going to be somebody that we have lost three great icons of our time: Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson, and Prince. You know, when it comes to music, they touch the world so much with their music and what they, you know, and the words. Just even thinking about some of the words of the song that, you know, he sang, it was just, his song was, it was crazy. But yeah, I know Prince is not what we're, the topic of the discussion this morning, but we just, you cannot, it was impossible for us not to bring up Prince this morning or talk about Prince. It was just not possible. But anyway, you know, I do hope his soul find a resting place. I was happy and pleased to hear that, you know, which I knew from before, that he still continued in his walk and he was still trying to improve upon himself and make himself a better person each day, and getting in touch with that, with his spiritual side and his creator. So, you know, I hope he's in a better place and his soul has found rest, because he did. He's one person, like I said, lived his life on his own terms and without regrets. And he lived his life as who he was created to be. And that's, you know, a lot of us don't have the opportunity to say that, because we live our lives so much worrying about other people versus living our lives for us and on our own terms. And he did just that. So, you know, to him, I take my hat off to him for having the confidence and being brave enough just to be exactly who he was created to be and making the transition and the changes when he was supposed to make it. So, you know, to his family and friends, I hope everybody is finding some type of peace within that, and knowing that he's in a better place and is, you know, his legacy will live on. Nobody can forget Prince, you know, so that's all I have to say about that. So.
And he was shorter than us. Well, wait a minute.
Prince
not our height. He was 5'2".
Well, yeah, but he was. And one of my sisters, my older sister, ex-husband, when we lived in Miami, he worked at one of those five-star restaurants in Miami Beach, and he actually was his waiter at one point, and he was saying how sweet he was. And he said he gave him, I think it was almost a $900 tip or something like that, which was far more than what they ordered, because he said they really just had, like, dessert and a glass of wine or something like that, but that's how much he tipped him. And he said he was really nice when he came in, but he was actually, what was shocking to him was how short he was, because he was like, here, you're as little as my wife, because she's, like, she's, like, 5'2". You know, but he said he was the sweetest person and everything. I remember when he was telling us about that when we all went over their house at the time for dinner. He met Prince this past weekend because they were having some big show in Miami Beach and whatnot. But yeah, he will be missed. As I said, three great icons, you know, and there's some other celebrities and things. But, you know, but that is it, I think, for entertainment news this morning that has, you know, passed away. I think there was Blac Chyna. She introduced women to wrestling. There's also the lady from the Golden Girls age that passed away. She was 90 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we have had quite a bit, and Percy Sledge, too, quite a bit of you know, of deaths within the last week and a half that have occurred, you know. So, you know, I would say to everybody out there that are listening to us this morning, and thank you guys for tuning in as usual. I know we're in a different time slot than we usually do our show. But, you know, just to live your life to the fullest, you know, take advantage of every single moment that you have to take a breath and appreciate the people that are in your life. You know, tell them that you love them. Show some type of kindness towards them, because you never know when the hour or the day, you know, whether it's your turn or their turn. We just never know. So, you know, we used to say back home, don't wait until I'm gone to spread roses on my grave. You know, give them to me right now. So that's what I would say, encourage people to do, is to live their life, enjoy your life, and enjoy each other. And don't be afraid to tell people to apologize and to forgive also, to forgive quickly and apologize quickly and move on from petty things and situations, because at the end of the day, it's not worth it. And we're all not here to last forever. So, you know, that's my little nugget this morning.
Moving on to our
our topic of the day.
Our topic. basically, is blatant. Our topic of conversation is mainly revolves around open relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay to give your mate, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, a pass to cheat? The discussion, the topic is nothing. It's not new. It's not a new topic of discussion. People have been doing this for years, regardless if they accepted the cheating, regardless if they are okay with it. Obviously, if you stay, in my opinion, you are accepting it. But some people go further and say, hey, let's just have an open relationship where there is an understanding that this is okay, and it's not going to cause an issue in our relationship because that's just the physical aspect of fulfilling our needs. Me personally, and I'm pretty sure the vast majority of us are against this, because for me, what's the purpose of being in a relationship if the door is open for the person I'm with to be intimate with someone else?
Mm-hmm.
And this show falls just last week, we had the Cucks on the show with us.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the, if you could, Stacey, I know you know it off the top of your head, what's the title of their book? It's a husband and wife team.
Yes.
That was able to overcome issues in their relationships and
mm-hmm.
issues in their marriage, excuse me. And they
right.
were able to not only overcome it, but embrace the difficulties and become successful in maneuvering past that particular roadblock they had as related to trust. So
right.
what was the name of the book?
Somebody should have told me. Somebody should have told me the things that no one told you about marriage. Because the Tucks got married in their early 20s, like a lot of us, you know, fresh out of college. They've been married currently 13 years, but they did get married, I think, around 23, 25, around there, between 23 to 25 is when they got married. However, they did date each other for quite a bit of time before they got to that point, because they knew each other from high school. So they dated all throughout the latter part of high school into college. So I think it was like maybe a 4 to 6 years that they dated before they actually got married. But at the same time, they did not cohabitate until that point, because they grew up in both Christian family and Christian homes. So the sacrifices and the things that they had to learn as a couple, you know, living together, that selfishness where when you become one with someone else, it's no longer about you. That was one of the biggest things that, you know, from just reading the book, and I would encourage anyone to read the book. It's called Somebody Should Have Told Me. You know, you can look it up. I did share some stuff on social media about it and also on our blog site. So you can go ahead and look it up there. But they just didn't understand a lot of things that a lot of us don't really know as well. Because when you're taking on another personality, and I think at that point, at that age in your life, you're still trying to figure out who you are. You're still trying to figure out, you know, what is it that, who you are at your core, you know, what is it that you want? And then you have attached someone else to you. So then you're figuring out that person too. And you're hoping that you grow together and you learn together and you change together. And sometimes it doesn't work out that way. So they had some difficulty, as Dee mentioned, that they were successfully able to overcome, not by themselves, but with the help of others that helped to guide their marriage. They've mentioned their parents, and that, you know, she had to learn that she had to cut off her single friends from, because they were so negative and they were not feeding into the marriage, but bringing up negative things, you know, because so she realized she had to also start hanging around couples themselves that are already married and even older than them, that could pour wisdom in them and, you know, encourage them and try to guide them along the way, which we had some discussion about that, Dee, about, you know, letting go of certain people or not listening to your single friend. And the more and more I talk to couples that have successfully been able to get over the hurdle and, you know, and have made it past the 10-year mark or whatever mark it is that we are looking at right now, is that they really had to let go of some people, you know, the hanging out with the single people and or talking to the single people because they're so bitter and skeptical and you know, they don't really feed anything positive into the marriage. They come up with every negative scenario you can think of as to what, you know, what your husband is cheating or your husband is looking at that person. And we see it every day, too, on reality TV. You even see just the way how they try to create strife between the husband and the wife, and they try to bring up petty things. Even family members, too, does that. And I'm not sure if it's that people are unhappy with their own lives and they don't really want to see anyone else happy, and or they wish that somebody they had what the other person have as to why they do that. I've never been able to understand it, because I'm one of those people that like to see people in healthy, good relationships and marriages. So I've never understand that. So I know I rambled a bit, but yeah.
You know, this is true not only of married people, of single people. It's true of married people as well. You just got to make sure the people that you do have in your circle are at a good place and have the experience that it takes in order to help give you some sound and good advice. A lot of times when we are in relationships, married or not, we may tend to sacrifice some of our own beliefs in order to keep a relationship going. There's certain things that some people are willing to look over or accept, as I was saying before, in hopes that the relationship would either be stronger or just to keep out of desperation of losing that person. As we go back to the topic as it relates to open relationships, this can be applied to people that are married as well as people that are not married that are in relationships. When I think about open relationships and open marriages, I think about I tend to wonder whose idea was this, number one, and are both parties truly okay with this? Is one party just accepting it because they want to keep the relationship? Or are they both open to being experimental but not really ready for a true commitment? Because in my opinion, an open relationship is not a relationship. An open marriage is not a real marriage. You're there for the title and the comfort, but your commitment level is not there.
Mm-hmm. And
there's,
we add also the benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, but to some people, is that a benefit? If I'm married, me being able to be in an open relationship or open marriage, that's not a benefit for me.
No, I mean the benefit of marriage when you look at tax breaks and you know,
oh, that's true.
Stuff like that. Some people are there for that aspect of it, for the financial aspect.
The insurance.
And the insurance. Right. You know, as you rightfully say, they're there for the title and they're there for the financial benefits and things that they get out of it, versus for the commitment and for the union and for the sacrifices and the, you know, the stability and everything else that goes along with being in a committed relationship or marriage.
You know, I didn't know this, but there are three types of open relationships. Ollie knew of one.
Oh.
And they all are in their three different categories, but they all still seem to be one. So one of the three are multi-partner relationships between three or more partners, where a sexual relationship does not occur between all of the parties involved. So a multi-partner relationship is between three or more people. So you have two guys and a woman. And intimacy only happens between the two, which I would say, let's say for argument's sake, husband and wife. And then there's a third person who was there, but there's no sexual component. I don't think that exists. I don't even think that's an open relationship. But that's one under open relationships. It's called the multi-partner relationships, where you have at least two that are in a sexual relationship, but the other parties are not. They're more in an emotional type of relationship between either one or both of the other partners. The other one is a hybrid relationship, when one partner is non-monogamous and the other partner is monogamous. So I think a lot of people that have been cheated on are in hybrid relationships,
yeah,
and maybe not know it.
Not knowing, yes. That one never
right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some that are knowing, like say, hey, you know what, if you want to go out and have sex with other people, great, or have relationships with other people, great, but I'm going to be committed to you, and I'm not going to do that, but you can. So that's hybrid, where one agrees or both agrees it is okay for one of them to step out while the other one decides not to. So that's a hybrid relationship. And then the last one, number three, is swinging. Swinging is in which singles or partners can, in a committed relationship, engage in sexual activities with others as a recreational or social activity. So to me, that's when I knew what swinging was before I heard of open marriages.
Mm-hmm.
So swingers clubs as well in Dallas.
And parties.
And I'm pretty sure they're across the world.
Parties too.
So you have three where there's no sex involved, but it's more than two people. The other one is the hybrid relationship where one is monogamous and the other one is not. And then you have swinging, which both of them, two partners, are committed, but they do have threesomes, menage a trois, and have sex with other people. So those are the types of open relationships that have been classically defined. excuse me. Sometimes the term open relationship is used with a closely related term called polyamory. I cannot pronounce it. I promise you guys I can read. it says the two polyamory. That's what it is. Okay. So basically the two concepts are not identical. But the main unifying element is that they are non-exclusive when it comes to sexual relationships. So a lot of people are open to it. I know that I'm not. A lot of celebrities have came out saying they're okay and they're open to their mate cheating or having sex with other people, and they feel, I have to think, and I want to know what you think about this, Stacey, I have to think that they are okay and open with it because they feel that it's going to happen anyway. It is out of their control. In order to bring some type of control, they're saying, I'm giving you permission to do this.
Well, for me, I cannot say that I think it more comes from a place of insecurity, to be quite frank with you, I think is where it comes from. Because you have this insecurity and this fear that this person is going to cheat on you, or you don't want to lose this person, then you give this person permission to do certain things because of the insecurity and the fears that you may have. So I think that's where it comes from, not that you know, because I wouldn't knowingly marry, and this is just my personal conviction, because I do believe in the institution of marriage and how God governed marriage to be, you know, between a husband and a wife. So I would not knowingly marry someone that I know is going to cheat on me. So that's what I'm saying. I don't think they're necessarily giving them a pass because they know it's going to happen, because who wants to marry somebody that doesn't believe in monogamy, that doesn't believe in the same things that I believe in?
I don't think no one marries someone thinking that they're going to cheat on them or knowing that. I know there's some people that do and they're okay with it, but I don't think anyone really goes into a marriage knowing yeah, this person's going to cheat on me and break my heart.
Okay.
I think a lot of people promise that. I think they end up, I think for the most part, maybe some of them end up in that relationship and realizing that marriage maybe didn't change this person. Or maybe they didn't know who this person was. But
right.
There's a lot of women that, and the same with men, he completely changed. I don't know who he is anymore. And that's me watching Lifetime. But I know it happened.
Uh-huh.
I know it happened. So I think a lot of people aren't just marrying someone that they think is going to cheat on them. Though some people are okay with it because they,
mm-hmm.
they want to be married.
No, yeah, that would be common sense. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't want to, but the question you posed was they're giving them a pass because they know it's going to happen. So that's why I'm saying if they know it's going to happen, that means you made a choice to marry somebody that you know is going to cheat on you. And I wouldn't necessarily think people would, you know, I think it comes from an insecure place at some point in the marriage or at some point within themselves where it may be that I don't feel like maybe as young and as, you know, like I used to be. I don't feel like I look as attractive or when we were first dating or before we started having kids and all of that type of stuff. And when, you know, there is no type of communication of saying, you know, telling her she looks beautiful or letting him know that I still think you're hot, baby. I still think you're sexy. You still do it for me. That type of stuff. So then if they start getting any attention elsewhere in order for you to protect yourself, then of course you convince yourself that, okay, he's maybe going to find somebody, other person attractive because I don't feel so attractive right now and I don't feel a certain type of way. So just tell him it's okay. So that's, you know, that's what I'm saying. I don't think, I think it happens along the marriage where you start feeling a type of, maybe some insecurities have seeped in because of, just life just took over, whether it's the kids and all of that type of stuff, career, and you guys don't have enough time or you to come together. Like one of the things that the Tucks were talking about in their book about the quality of time. It doesn't matter what is going on, even if it's a date with each other to take a bath together after the kids go to bed, because that's how those type of things happen. You know, I think that's where it comes from. And then, of course, people add on these extra things that they add on so they don't have to deal with each other and really deal with what is going on in the marriage. So that's just, you know, I guess my train of thought on the process as mm-hmm. to why people probably would. Because take, for example, some of the celebrities that we have seen in the public eye that has come out and said stuff like that. So, Monique, for example, when she made that statement, it was a place in Monique's life when she you know, was much heavier than she is now. She wasn't as health conscious as she used to be. She wasn't working out. You know, now she's half the size that she was. And I thought when she made that statement, I honestly thought it came from a place of insecurity. Because I also remember when she was talking about skinny girls or bitches or, you know, whatever the title of her book was. And a lot of her comedy was around bashing skinny women or smaller women. And to me, it just screamed insecurity, that you weren't happy with where you were and you weren't comfortable. Now we've seen where she's taken on another aspect of her life where she's, you know, working out, she's eating better. And I'm all for growth and for people improving upon themselves and taking care of yourself and wanting to live long. You know, so you're going to eat better, you're going to work out, and you're going to do all those stuff and change your lifestyle. But at the same time, and she's lost a lot of her fan base because a lot of her fan base were big girls.
Big people.
Exactly. But my thing about it is that I found a little bit disturbing was the fact that she was bashing those other women that are not big boned or, you know, my curvaceous ladies, you know, cuddles, all of that type of stuff. She was bashing the other women that were not that. Now that she aspire to be that, you haven't heard her said anything. So that's why to me, when I looked at her, I felt sorry for her because to me, I thought it came from, you're going to give your husband a pass like that because you were insecure about where you were and how you looked. I really believe that was the core of it because it didn't make sense to me. It absolutely made no sense to me whatsoever when she made that comment. So, you know, because And there are a few other of them that too. Lil Wayne ex-wife that used to marry to that other, I can't remember, I think he's a ball player. She also too, she said it was a joke though. I later on listened to an interview with her in the Breakfast Club. She said it was a joke that she was making, but people actually literally took it seriously. And I'm like, the first thing is, those two things I don't think people should joke about in marriages or any committed relationship. The D word, that divorce word, or that cheating word, those two words, the C word and the D word. Those things I don't think there should be any joke around, oh, you know, it's okay for you to do this, or I want a divorce, or, you know, stuff like that, because you're speaking life into your marriage. You're putting that thing out there. And your husband or your committed boyfriend or fiancé or whoever it is, may just take that literally and run with it. And you can't be upset if they do, because you put that out there. You said that, you know, go out there and do whatever you want to do. Who's the other celebrity that I happened to? We saw her, and millions of people watch her, national TV, told him that it's okay for him to cheat. Just make sure he used condoms so he doesn't bring anything home. And the moment she found the receipt in the car that he purchased some condoms, they had a physical confrontation that resulted in a public brawl because he headbutted her. And now they're divorced. And people are looking at
you're
her.
You're talking about Chad Cinco, Ocho Cinco?
Yeah, there it is, girl. But everybody's looking at her crazy and, like, you know, turning their head to the side. Like, wait a minute. You sat on TV in front of millions of people and told this man it was okay if he, you know, find himself in a situation where he found somebody attractive and he wanted to take it there. Just make sure he used condoms and don't bring anything home. And then the moment you find out, you found a receipt in his car, in the glove compartment or in the cup holder thing or whatever it was where she found the receipt, that he did exactly what you gave him permission to do, you're upset. Then it got into a physical confrontation between you guys. But you gave the man permission to do that.
Yeah, so, that picture was... I didn't know that was the issue.
Yes, that was what the fight was about. She found the receipt in the car. She went to move the car or something like that. He came home. She went to move the car or something of that nature. And she found the receipt in the car because he had just come back from out of town. And I guess, you know, probably hadn't had time to clean the car because she did a sit-down interview with Juliana Van Am, Changed My Life, and she talked to her about that incident. Even though it was already in the media and the speculations was there, but she found the receipt, and that's one of the things that Juliana said to her. And they replayed the clip. They replayed the clip of her and him having the discussion in the house prior to this incident. You told him it was okay. You told him just make sure he used condoms. So why are you then upset? But as she said, she didn't literally think he would have done something like that. I'm like, what? He's a man. Which man?
I don't even. I will say that I don't even subscribe to that. He's a man. At
no,
all.
I mean in terms
or
of
she's
they,
a woman. You know,
no, I mean like. Well, let me clarify. In terms of they're going to find people more attractive because you know they're more physical beings than we are. So obviously, especially in his, you know, where he career wise or you know always having attractive, gorgeous women around him. Yeah, I'm sure he's going to find him attractive, but he needs to respect your union and love you enough and respect that marriage that he's not going to do that. But also, when I say he's a man, I in terms of they're such physical beings, you know, and he is supposed to see her differently or respect her so much and love her and honor the marriage so much, you wouldn't want to do that regardless of how much you may find other people attractive. But
I wish my man would be like, well, you know, I'm a man.
No,
but
know.
So many people say use that term. But at the end of the day, I'm with you. If she shouldn't have said it, but
right.
If she said it or not, does not give him a pass or the right to do that when you are in a relationship. And they were married.
She
filed for divorce that week, a couple of days later.
She did. She certainly did. And that's
so that was
yeah.
that was definitely not an open relationship. That was an example of a very or a hybrid, I guess you would say, where she was monogamous, assuming, and he was open to whatever.
The thing that I'm saying, Dee, don't sit your husband down. It wasn't like they were having a joking conversation. She came in and told him she wanted to talk to him for a minute because she knew he was getting ready to go on the road. And she had a serious conversation with her husband about, you know, she knows she's going to be traveling a lot and all of this type of stuff and, you know, women around and all of that. And she just wanted him to know that if it does happen or this does come up, you know, where he found himself into that situation, that it's okay. Just make sure you use protection and you don't have any unwanted kids out there or you don't bring anything home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a conversation I personally would be having with my husband. What I would be trying to do is make sure I give him as much sex as I possibly can before he leaves. So you don't have no desire for it. You know, that would not be the conversation that me and you would be having.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as I said, I think it comes from an insecure place in my perspective. You know, when women find themselves given their husband or their committed fiancé or boyfriend or, you know, whatever it is, if you're in a monogamous relationship with that person, permission to do that. I think somewhere along the line, something has happened within yourself for you to say, I'm okay with this. You know, and instead it could be for after having kids, you don't like how you look anymore, or you are just not feeling attractive because, you know, life has taken over. And we all go through that. We have all had moments, I'm sure, throughout our lives where we don't feel as confident, we don't feel as secure with ourselves and how we look and stuff like that. But those things actually require work. It's intentional to me. It's a very intentional choice you make every time when you get up, that I am going to put myself together, that I am going to actually put some makeup on my face. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to work out. And work out doesn't mean you have to be in the gym 7 days a week. It could be you taking a walk for 30 minutes with the kids, you know, making better choices in terms of the food and those type of things. It's intentional. It don't just happen overnight. You don't just get up. I know Beyonce said we don't all get up looking like that. I promise you. It takes work for her too. She said that's why she enjoys dancing, because dancing keeps her in shape. So, you know, it's something that you have to work on. Work out together as a couple. They even have couples doing workout goals now and stuff like that. So, you know, you have to make intentional decisions, not just to communicate with each other, to be committed to each other. You know, it's work. You have to also make intentional decisions to take care of yourself as well, because we are physical beings, both men and women. We like attractive things. So if you want to see him look attractive, work out together. If you want to be attractive to him, do what you need to do too. Do it together. Because just like how you like to look at a six-pack, he may like to look at somebody too, you know, looking nice. You put on your little lingerie and do all of that good stuff. Work out together. They tell you all the time, how many calories does having 600 calories? Work out together. There you go. Spend more time together.
But it essentially, I think, has to come from the person, regardless if, let me at least back up. I don't feel that any true relationship can be great when you have other parties involved, regardless if it's emotional or physical, regardless if your mate knows about it or not. It's not set up that way. It's not set up to be successful that way or prosperous. I know some people that make it work. Men that are, I don't know if you've seen the show Sister Wives, or you have a man married to 4, 5, 6 different women.
Polygamy.
Polygamy. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it works for him, but you can't tell me that it works for all the women involved. There's issues of insecurity jealousy and everything that comes up when he's not with you because, you know, he's chosen to be with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the state of mind and the condition that people accept. I honestly feel that the best type of relationship are those in which it is male and female, and they are committed to each other, because I think that's the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, I feel that people can have successful relationships if their mind is wired to accept certain things. You can accept a whole lot just at the sake of a relationship. But open relationships to me aren't relationships at all. You might as well say that we're single. Because there is no true commitment. A commitment is 100%. There's not, well, this part of me I share with other people. You know, I think for some people, and I don't think they ever really end in the other person or both parties. I don't think it ever ends up good, or I don't believe that it ever ends up well. You have one person that may be jealous. I've seen situations, here I go, going back to TV, but I watched the ID, for those of you guys that are crime buffs, the Investigative Discovery Channel, and they have all these shows on there that basically are crime shows, and they tell you how the crime happened, and these are real-life reenactments of true case stories and situations. And there was one that I'll never forget. They were young. The man got married a second time, so this was his second wife. She was much younger. They agreed to have another person move in. That other person was a woman that worked at a bar that he worked at. So then he convinced his new young wife to engage in a threesome. So they was just all over the place, just the three of them, and he was probably in hog heaven. Well, at some point during the, of course, this is a crime story, so someone got killed. At some mm-hmm. point during the relationship, he became jealous of the relationship that the two girls started to build. Again, his new wife was young. This other woman was young. So the girls are about the same age. They're in their 20s. He's in his late 30s. And so they start going shopping together, and he starts becoming jealous of their relationship. But ironically, the twist is he ended up. But that goes to show that it may be a good idea in the beginning, but someone at some point may feel the need to either pull back or may decide, you know what, this really isn't what I want. This really isn't for me. And I think once you open that Pandora box, it becomes, regardless if you are in a hybrid situation where you're the one that is monogamous and the other party isn't, or if you're in a situation where it's just open and you guys do threesome and swing, I think at some point, because I don't think that can last forever, at some point one person becomes weary. The other person may find interest in the new conquest and may look at you as dispensable. So mm-hmm. I really don't think those are ever really set up to be anything that's long-term or successful. And I believe in a lot of cases it can ruin a relationship and even a marriage.
And, you know, Dee, to add to that point that you're making, also as women, biologically, the way we were created, we weren't created just to have sex just like that, because we're emotional. And at some aspect, you get emotionally attached to your partner, you know, this person that you're engaging in sexual activities with. Just because of how we are made up biologically. The same hormone that get released every time a woman breastfeeds her baby, so she and her baby make that connection and that bonding occur, is the same hormone that releases during sexual intercourse when she, you know, orgasm or is engaged in sexual intercourse. So
automatically we were created to be to bond with our mate, and that happens a lot too in the relationships that these people engage in outside of their marriage. What you're talking about, where one person get emotionally attached sometimes to the people that they decide to engage in sexual activities, and I can go through Lifetime movies back to back with you, and even real life situations. You've heard of affairs where one person gets attached to the other person and they want more, you know, and stuff like that, and those type of things. And that's how I even learned from not just talking to males, but even, you know, psychologists and stuff that have studied human behavior and sexuality, that there is a difference between. I know Dee was saying that she didn't see the difference too, but after talking to a lot of people who study sexual behaviors and human behavior, there is a difference between when they say sleeping with somebody and having sex, because sex is the physical act, that decision that you make. The sleeping with part is where that emotional connection comes in, because now, especially for the woman, it becomes an emotional decision that she's making because of the connection that you form after the actual act. So, you know, it doesn't, most of the times it doesn't work out for, especially for us, I think, when we convince ourselves that we can do something like that, because sometimes you end up leaving or becoming attached to that person, and you want more out of the relationship now than just the sex, because now you have formed that emotional attachment. And a couple of the articles that I was reading when I was looking at the topics, quite a few of the couples that they mention in the article, and these are real life couples, not celebrities or Lifetime movies, that's what happened. And the marriages end up in divorce, like what you were saying. You don't know of anyone that it worked out for. The marriages end up in divorce because the wives end up getting emotionally attached to the partners, and they wanted more and wanted to start spending more time with the other agreeing party that they actually agreed to have the relationship with. And even sometimes, in some cases, there was one story that I read, I think the husband, his name was Ray, he got emotionally attached to the other man's wife to the point of jealousy, you know, where he was becoming angry, where it was an agreement at first for them to come together, you know, two husbands, two wives, but then things got sour. So, I don't know. I know people are allowed to live their life into each his own, but I don't necessarily know that is something that works out. And even in the relationships where you have the sister wife, the first wife, her job is supposed to be able to keep the other wives in check and to kind of actually help to, I guess, handle the mental and emotional states of the other wife. That's part of the first wife's job, you know, because as you said, one person is going to probably get jealous that he's spending more time with this person. That person, even though they have like a schedule, they run on a real schedule of when you get time with him and versus I get time with him from the intimate perspective. But the job of the first wife, you know, having have discussions with people that are actually open to this type of marriage or you know, cohabitating, and has done research and what it entails and how it's supposed, the structure of it, that's the person supposed to be the first wife's job. One of my very dear friend's husband, because he's from a Muslim background, and she was having difficulty having kids, or she's at a place where she can't have any kids anymore, his family actually proposed to her. She would be the first wife, but they would have other wives in the home, and this one would be of childbearing. So the main purpose of having her there is for the ability to have kids, and she can't have kids anymore. And, you know, mm-hmm. He actually took a plane. Kid you not, this is a true story. He took a plane to Jordan because they make an arrangement for him to meet his other wife. She was supposed to go with him because as the first wife, she's supposed to pick the one that is most suitable. And when she's telling me this, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't. And she was like, well, Stacey, they were young, intelligent women. She's talking about doctors, lawyers. It wasn't no rinky-dinky-dinky kind of girls that he had to choose from. And, you know, and I was like, and you were okay with it? She said she was okay in a sense, but she wasn't okay with it because she understood that they wanted an ear or something like that. So, and it was his own conviction at the very last moment, down to the nick of time, when he was like, he couldn't do it. He loved her so much, he was like, he cannot possibly do it. And he said he knew she wasn't comfortable with it. She was only going along with it just to make him happy or just to satisfy his family, because they were at a point where they can't have any kids, you know, because she had to have a hysterectomy and stuff like that. So, but they end up not going through with it. But it's real. It's real, girl. People are living some real crazy things.
Yeah, I hold on to the biblical belief.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I know that's the safest way to go. But, you know, to each their own.
Yep. And I'm glad he didn't go through it, because there, as I said, there are a couple that I know very well and respect them and love them dearly. And she's a much older person than I am, but I've learned so much from her. And the thing, too, that made the difference was he took a trip to Egypt prior to that, and he had changed, you know, like a lot of the customs that they believe in from the Muslim side. He didn't adopt to it anymore because he had changed and was more geared towards the Christian beliefs part of it. And, you know, if it wasn't for that trip that he made, and the fact that, you know, when he called her, and she said he called her weeping because he had like another encounter. It was like he had an awakening or an epiphany or something. And she said one of the prayers that she asked God was that not to make him change so completely that she don't recognize the person she fell in love with. But when he came back, he was a different person. And that was one of the things that led him to not agree with his family and what they were doing in terms of, you know, trying to pick another wife for him because of that little situation that they found themselves in.
Interesting.
So, Yeah, but they had, you know, and she said she spoke to some of them. She did. She, you know, she was trying to be a trooper going along with the process, even though the night, a part of her, she was like, she didn't want it. That's not what she, you know, but she was willing to, because she loved him that much, and she understood that he had always wanted kids, and she, you know, couldn't figure out, you know, she was in a place, in a position where she was now in the marriage where they couldn't have children because she had to have the surgery for health reasons, you know, and she spoke to them. She's a very intelligent girl. She met with them and everything, and at the last minute, he told her, no, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. You know, if God ordained that we weren't supposed to have kids together, we weren't supposed to have kids together. 20-something years of marriage, we just weren't supposed to have kids. And he was like, I'm okay. We have our little rabbits. They have a little pet rabbit. Every time I go, they have a little rabbit. She was like, you know, we have our little rabbits. My brothers and sisters have a bunch of kids, you know, her sister, because there's only her family, there's only two of them, two girls. They have three kids. She said, we have all these kids that we are able to parent, you know, so it's okay, you know. And he told his family, whatever you guys need to do, we make peace with it, that we're not having kids, but I'm not taking another wife.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yep, and that's what he did. You know, it caused a rift for a little while, because I did remember her saying that, you know, his mother and whoever else, they weren't speaking to them for a while, but they had to move on from it, because he was like, I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. Just accept it or not, you know. And, you know, there's certain rules that she has to follow when she goes to their country, because, you know, she has to walk a certain distance behind him and stuff like that, and they can't share the same room. And, you know, their country is a little bit different. He's from Jordan, so, you know, their practices and stuff is a little bit different. But they live in the States. He's been here for years as a business owner, had multiple businesses and stuff like that. She's from the island, like myself, from the Bahamas. But, you know, other than that, as I said, they're the sweetest thing. He's the sweetest person you could ever meet. But, you know, he said, no, we're not doing it. I'm not doing it. You know, whatever you guys need to do, whatever you need to cut me out of, I'm okay with it. So I'm okay with my love and, you know, where I am and the new religion that I found and all of that good stuff. And he made peace with it.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. And there's people out there that make joke and say that they're open to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but at the end of the day, I think when it comes down to it, I think that there's a lot of people that realize the ramifications that can come from just trying to be experimental and trying
yeah.
out something new, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's pretty much all that I have on the issue of today. I guess you can, me and Stacy, we disagree on some aspects, especially on that approaching the guy on certain topics. We'll have some, you know, but for the most part, a lot of times we're on the same page when it comes to things like this of this nature. Relationships should definitely be one, and if you're considering one, should be between the two.
Yes.
And if you're considering this type of relationship, I suggest that maybe you really strongly consider, strongly think about it, search, and there's a wealth of information, but search relationship experts' thoughts, views, and opinions on this and how it can hinder or help, if there is a such thing, relationships and certain things to consider, you know, because people that, when you find yourself in certain situations that are unique, because I do think it's unique. I don't think a lot of people are open
or
to this.
Doing this. Yes.
Right. Openly do this, but there are people out there that are open to it. Definitely see if what they have maybe experienced. There's a lot of information out there. I just think that is just definitely a recipe for disaster if this is somebody that you're seriously wanting to, you know, be in a relationship with. But that's pretty much all I have for this Saturday morning. What about you, Stace?
Yeah, that's pretty much my take, you know, and as I said, we like to be as real and as transparent as possible. And, you know, sometimes in this discussion, I will share stories of what a friends or people that I know personally like that story. And as I said, because I like to make it or show as both of us like to be as real and as transparent as we possibly can, you know, and even share experiences or things that we know other people are going through. So, yeah, I would encourage you guys to make sure you do your research, talk to professionals, talk to people you may know, people who may know of other people that you may know that has gone through this type of stuff, you know, people that study what are sexuality, human behaviors, and all of that stuff. Consult your God, your moral compass, your all of that before you make that decision, because as Dee said, it's a recipe for disaster. I really do think it is. I think there is a specific reason why the Bible says you leave your parents and you cling to your wife. You're going to say wife. Okay, so, you know, but that's just my moral beliefs and my what morally governs me. I can't tell anyone else how to live their life or how to govern their own lives and their marriages. But personally, I do not subscribe to it. I don't believe in it. But for the ones that do make sure you do your research. Make sure you're both on the same page. And just know you are running the risk of one person may become emotionally attached to the other person or somebody having more expectation from this decision than you may do, and it may not end well for everybody involved because somebody may get jealous or something of that nature. So that's all I would encourage you to do is to do your homework and your research and make sure you know what you're getting into. And hopefully, before you get to this point where you're having this discussion with your spouse or significant other or committed partner, that you entered into a relationship with somebody from the beginning that you guys have the same belief system when it comes to marriage, when it comes to relationship in terms of monogamy, commitment, and, you know, those type of things. So you will not be having this discussion. You didn't marry somebody that's believe it's okay for me to step out on my wife or my husband, you know, then this goes for both men and women. So hopefully you didn't marry that person, so you wouldn't be having this conversation at any point in your relationship or within your marriage.
Stacey, real quick, before you go, if you was in a relationship and your spouse was like, hey, let's try this out. What you doing? You staying?
No, we're not trying anything out. And if this is the route that you want to take, let's draw the divorce paper right now. Because I would have hoped you would have known who I was before when you married me, and I would have hoped I would have known who you were before I married you, that this is not up for discussion. This is not a part of the marriage. This is not even a part of the courtship or the dating process. No, we're dating exclusively each other. We're courting exclusively each other because we are going towards a goal of terms of marriage. If you want to date multiple people, I'm not the girl that you should be dating, because I really – if you're dating, you're dating. But if I'm exclusively dating you and is in a relationship with you, vice versa. We're not dating multiple people. And we're going to have the discussion before. I'm not going to assume that, okay, you know, you're exclusively dating me or not. I'm going to make sure that's what it is. So I don't have no reason to be upset with you. But however, no, I'm sorry. No, girl.
Well, y'all heard that Stacey ain't playing that.
No, it's not. First of all, you have even the health risk. You think about the health risk these days. You cannot control another person's behavior, what they're doing. So even though you guys may agree to do this or enter in these type of relationship, you really cannot control what that person does when they're not with you or behind your back. So that other couple that you agree to have sex with or to swing with or to do this with or whatever with, they may be out there sleeping with a million other people, and then other people that they're sleeping with are sleeping with other people. That's a whole lot of bodily fluid and a whole lot of risk and exposure of diseases and things that are out there that I don't want to have to. Life in itself and relationship is a lot of work, and it's difficult. I don't want to add any more unnecessary things to the plate to make it any more difficult or things that I have to be concerned or worried about. So that's just, I mean, there's just too much things at risk. It's just too much just for one pleasureful night of excitement or curiosity about your neighbor or whoever you decide to bring into your marriage.
Well, that's pretty much
so there, there you go. You had it.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it that we have for today. Everybody be safe. As I'm on social media, I'm seeing these Prince parties popping up everywhere. There's a Prince versus Michael Jackson party.
Oh, wow.
I promise I can't.
Like, oh, my gosh. Well,
I do love Prince, but, I'm gonna send it to you. I'm gonna tag you in it. But yeah, there's a Prince versus Michael Jackson party tonight, which that's kind of weird. Biggie versus Pac. I'm gonna tag you in it. It's in Addison. Yeah. So people will be out. I definitely know that much. But I'm gonna tag you in it. What you think?
Interesting. I cannot.
But everybody have a safe, great weekend.
Yes.
If we had a musical, engineer, I'll be cueing him to play out, to fade out some Purple Rain, but we don't.
Yeah, if I had known earlier, I would have uploaded it to the dashboard and played it on our intro out. But since I did not do that, I'm sure the next month or so, this whole Prince thing is going to be going on. You know, so.
Oh yes, they and all these award shows, they're going to be honoring Prince. Like the next award show that's coming up, whatever that may be, they're going to be honoring him for at least and this year. You guys be careful, be safe,
yes.
Have a great weekend. Thank
yes.
you for your support, listening, and just, you know, it's, we see you guys and we appreciate the shares on social media, the retweets, the comments. All of that, we definitely appreciate it.
Yes, and you know, just thank you guys for, you know, and even when sometimes we change
the show time from the regular time. Thank you guys for still, because I did see a few calls on the dashboard here, for continue to keep up with us even when we change the time and to take the time out of your busy schedule on a Saturday where some people may want to sleep in or something like that to tune in with us and to listen. We do appreciate it. And yeah, you know, so just live your life, guys. Be good to yourself and be good to each other is what I always say. And just appreciate it. You know, just go out, and it's beautiful right now. The sun is out in Dallas. Now, we had quite a bit of rain this week, but it's really gorgeous outside. You know, go out and smell the fresh air and enjoy your family, enjoy your friends, you know, to help appreciate people. And, you know, thank you, as usual, Dee, for my beautiful co-host. I know she has her plate full and a lot of things going on, but thank you for going down this journey with me and for making the time out every Saturday morning to, you know, to do this, as long as we are able to do it, and for the time that we can do it. But, yeah, so, yeah, thank you very much. You know, I said I believe in telling people how I feel right then and there, not waiting till later on because I don't know if I'm going to get later. So thank you very much. I love you. I appreciate you. And I am glad the day that God put you in my life. So, yeah, so that's it for us, guys. And that's all I wanted to say. And follow us on social media. It's, everything is the same across the board. Tea Talk Time, social media, Facebook. Tell somebody else about the show. Join us in the show. And have a fantastic Saturday, guys, and a great weekend. We'll see you next week. And we are out.